it's funny because even in life, like when you get something that has such a really, really low, it's bound to have such a really, really high. Like it's just, it just works out like for with everything like that.
It's early morning at a house in Alliston, Ontario, and people are cleaning up after breakfast. People with mental and physical disabilities are participating in a day program, one that helps them socialize with others and perform everyday tasks. Developmental support workers are there to help them cook, do arts and crafts, exercise, and take them on trips to places like the museum or a park. For Andrew Facciolo, becoming a support worker was the dream.
My first experience with developmental services came at a very young age, I would say. My father has been in the field for a very, very long time. And I guess if I were to backtrack a long time ago, it would be when I was actually 10 years old.
Andrew's father, Vito, has been in the developmental services sector for over 30 years and is the executive director of a community living organization in Alliston, one that supports people living with disabilities. Drawing inspiration from his father, Andrew first got into the industry at 16 years old when he started doing respite work. Within this role, Andrew provided at-home support for a person with disabilities for a few hours each week.
When I was like, hey, this is what I want to do, I had actually worked with an individual who for about 10 years had not said a word to his whole family. He was completely nonverbal, didn't speak. It took me about 6 months and he was talking with his family, completing full sentences, laughing, showing emotion. And like that made me feel so good. That was where the love really, really started.
After this experience, Andrew became more invested in the field. He worked as a summer student at a community living organization where he supported several people with vastly different diagnoses. When Andrew got accepted to Ryerson University in Toronto during the summer of 2014, he then applied for a full-time support worker position at an organization just outside the city.
During my interviewing process, I did let them know that where my strengths were, but seeing as I was very young, I was able, I was strong, I was willing to kind of put myself out there, and I wanted to, you know, move up in the industry, in the world, in the company in general. So, you know, if they see someone like me, someone who's ready to get right down to it, their initial thought was, let's put him in the hardest area, hardest part of this company.
Andrew got placed in one of the organization's most behaviorally difficult homes. Of those who live there, their diagnoses range from being nonverbal to having autism or schizophrenia. Many of them have more than one diagnosis. A typical workday for Andrew begins at 9 a.m. He arrives at the house and meets with the overnight staff to see how the night went. Then Andrew will meet with his team, during which he'll be assigned the person that he's supporting for that day. Depending on who he supports, Andrew's responsibilities will vary. Usually he'll accompany his person to day program, perhaps help them water the plants, do arts and crafts, and meet with other individuals. During his shift, he's also required to make lunch and dinner.
People who need additional care, they usually follow very, 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 very specific, drawn out plans of the day that have been in place for years and years and years. That's where most people thrive the most. But if one thing during your day goes wrong, if you're in traffic for too long, for 15 minutes longer than they're used to, you know, there's trouble.
By trouble, Andrew means that the person will get angry or agitated and express a behavior. Typically, most people will throw a tantrum, but in extreme cases, they can become physically aggressive. In an instant, Andrew's day can go from good to horrible, keeping him constantly on edge.
Definitely a lot of anxiety going into work, especially when, you know, times were tough. It was, you know, don't get me wrong, when times were tough, it was extremely rewarding to kind of get through that. But at the same time, it was like, oh my God, you know, I have another day of work. There's like 4 or 5 more days of work. Like, how am I gonna get through that? Every single day you go to work and you're like, hey, I'm essentially having a panic attack right now. You know what I mean? That can get mentally exhausting, emotionally exhausting.
After a year and a half of working, a person in Andrew's home began experiencing crisis after crisis for weeks on end, causing Andrew's anxiety to worsen.
I know I remember one time he was upstairs and he has this thing where listening to music it really calms him down. But this specific day, something had happened. We just heard this smash. We went upstairs, the entire room was trashed. We had to kind of go and lock ourselves in the staff room, making sure everyone else is safe. And he just went and destroyed everything. The entire house, the entire kitchen was just covered in his own blood. It is like kind of scarring to see someone hit his head off a door for like 30 seconds straight. I actually felt like I was in a horror movie.
It was then that Andrew began to question whether this career was the right path for him.
So it's like, at that point for me, it was just like, wow, this is not essentially what I signed up for. I mean, I did it to help people. I did it to, aid in people's progress. But when you go to work every single day and it's almost just like whatever you do is not progressing, it's just escalating or going downwards, it becomes a thing where you're like, okay, is this for me? Like, do I really love this? Is this what I'm supposed to do?
One day during this extended crisis period, Andrew walked up to his manager at the end of his shift, and without giving it a moment's thought, he quit.
It wasn't just the fear, though, and the aggression and that really told me to stop as well. I mean, I consider myself to be a kind and loving person. I consider myself a patient person. But, I got to the point where I felt like I wasn't doing a good job anymore. I wasn't treating the people that I was working for originally with the amount of respect that I should have been. I didn't think I would burn out this quickly. I mean, honestly, I really didn't.
Someone who understands the stress of the job well is Tori McLeelan, who has worked as a senior support worker for 8 years. She's actually employed at the organization that Andrew's dad manages. I told her about Andrew's situation, how he felt like he had given up, but she saw it completely different.
I respect people like that. If you can admit that this isn't for me and I'm not doing what I should be doing in order to give these people the best support that they need, then yeah, it's time to go. And that's not a bad thing. It's important to know when you need to take a step back in your job, in life, and in everything. And it's good to be able to admit that. Because again, a lot of people don't because they're scared. They're scared of failing. But I don't think that's failing at all. I think that's being very successful and knowing who you are.
Andrew and Tori are just a few of many support workers who know the strain of the job well. Burnout is likely in any healthcare profession, but especially within the developmental services sector. The organizations that Andrew and Tori work at are experiencing a staffing shortage, meaning workers are being stretched thin. The reality is, many end up leaving to pursue other careers.
What I can say, though, is I'm way happier now, which is great. It took a while, but I was able to just take a moment, understand where I am at life, accept it, and do things that I enjoy.
After leaving his job, Andrew took some time to reevaluate his life and the career he wanted. He's currently finishing up his last semester in Ryerson University's Business Technology program. As for what he'll do after, he says he's not certain. Maybe he'll travel before settling down. Either way, he's happily embracing the unknown.